Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
When God made the first man, Adam, he made him righteous without sin. He made him righteous, but able to sin or not to sin. God put the man to the test. He placed him in the Garden of Eden, and he allowed him and his wife to eat from any tree of the garden save one. He forbade them eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he warned them that if they did eat from it, then they would surely die. The serpent tempted Adam's wife Eve, and she ate from the tree. She gave to Adam her husband, and he ate. Adam failed the test. He failed the test, and so, as God had threatened, he incurred the penalty of death. God banished him and his wife from the Garden of Eden and barred them from the tree of life. He sent the man and his wife out into the wilderness, where they would find thorns and thistles, and where their labor would be hard. Not only did Adam incur the penalty of death, but he brought sin and death to all mankind. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God did promise, however, that he would not leave mankind in this condition, but would send a redeemer who would destroy the works of the devil. He said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Out of all the men of the world, God chose Abraham and made a covenant with him. He promised him that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. This promise was for Abraham and for his descendants, and it was signed and sealed with the rite of circumcision. God warned Abraham that his descendants would be in bondage in a foreign land for 400 years and then be freed. Abraham believed in the Lord, the scriptures say, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Yet, God would put Abraham to the test. He would try his faith. He commanded him to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Abraham was obedient, and when he raised the knife to slay his son, God stopped him and said to him, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham's faith was tried and found true. The children of Israel were indeed taken into bondage in Egypt. Because Pharaoh would not let the people go, God sent 10 plagues upon the land. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. God told his people how they might save their firstborn. They must kill a lamb without blemish and put its blood on the frame of the doors of their houses. God promised to pass over any house with blood on the door frame and not kill the firstborn there. If any Israelite would save his firstborn, then he must do as the Lord commanded. It was a test of his faith. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, Moses led them in their exodus. A few weeks after leaving Egypt, the people complained of hunger, and they longed to return to Egypt. Then God said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Each day, God promised, he would provide bread from heaven, and each day the people were to gather only enough for the day, and no more. On the first day when God sent the bread, some disobeyed and gathered more than they needed. The following day, the bread had worms and it stank. After that, every man gathered only so much as he needed. When the people reached Mount Sinai, God made a covenant with them in which he promised life for obedience and death for disobedience. He told them, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them." The children of Israel left Mount Sinai and set out for the land that God promised to them. When they had journeyed about half the distance, Moses sent 12 men ahead to spy out the land. They returned after reconnoitering for 40 days. Of the 12, 10 reported that the land could not be taken. The people, hearing this, rebelled against Moses and against God. So God condemned them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for each day the spies reconnoitered, until the entire unbelieving generation had died. Only then would they enter the promised land. During the time of their wanderings in the wilderness, they needed food, of course, and God did provide food for them. He provided manna, bread from heaven. When they finally reached the Jordan River, the border of the promised land, Moses exhorted them always to keep the law of God, always to be found faithful. He said to them, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." From the time the children of Israel had left Egypt to the time they arrived at the Jordan River, God humbled them by making food scarce and so making them depend upon him. He day to day gave them food, so that day to day they had to trust him, so that day to day they had to obey him. This is why the Lord Jesus has taught his followers to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He has taught them to pray this, not only because they each day need food, but because each day they depend upon God for life and breath, and all things. Just as they each day depend upon food to sustain themselves physically, so also do they each day depend upon the Word of God to sustain themselves spiritually. Tragically, the children of Israel failed. They did not live by faith. They did not believe God, neither did they obey him. They did not live by every word that came from his mouth. So he destroyed them. When they committed fornication with the heathen women of Moab, God sent a plague that killed 23,000. When they put God to the test too many times, continually complaining against him about the difficulty of their journey, he sent fiery serpents to kill them. When they complained against God that he destroyed Korah and his rebels, he sent a plague to kill them. Although there were some faithful Israelites, many more were unfaithful. God sent his Son into the world to redeem mankind, and so his Son had to come into the world as one of them. He had to become incarnate. He had to be a man so that he could die for the sins of men. However, in order for him to die for the sins of men, he had to be a perfect man. In order for him to be an acceptable sacrifice for the sins of men, he had to be a sinless man. God requires a perfect sacrifice. The lamb of the Passover had to be without blemish. All burnt offerings to the Lord had to be without blemish. So the Son of God, that great sacrifice for the sins of the world, had to be without sin, and so he was. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." St. Peter wrote that believers have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If the Son of God were not without sin, if he were not as a lamb without blemish, then he could not have atoned for the sins of anyone else. He would have had to atone for his own sins. But for the Son of God to be without sin, he had to be proved such. And to be proved such, he had to be tested. So St. Luke reports, after Jesus received John's baptism, by which he received the power of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Just as Israel was tested in the wilderness for 40 years, so Jesus would be tested for 40 days. The children of Israel were tempted by hunger, and they had every day to trust God to provide for them. God always did provide food for them, and yet they still complained. Jesus went altogether without food in his period of testing. St. Luke reports that he ate nothing. After the 40 days were ended, he was hungry. It was then, at a time when Jesus suffered great physical weakness, that the devil attacked. It is one thing to do right when one is rested, fed, and free from pain. It is quite another to do right when one is weary, hungry, or in pain. Jesus was tempted when he was most vulnerable. The devil knew he hungered, and he said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." By the temptations of the devil, Jesus had to prove himself faithful. Moreover, the devil demanded that Jesus prove to him that he was indeed the Son of God. As Jesus is the Son of God, it was certainly in his power to do as the devil demanded. However, before he had become incarnate, he had agreed to live as a man and not as a God. St. Paul wrote to the Philippians that Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus hungered, he thirsted, he tired, he bled. As a man, he was like any other. Although he was also the Son of God, he determined not to live by his own power. He did not even reply to the devil with his own authority as Son of God. He answered him with the Word of God. He said to him, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Jesus replied with the very words that Moses had spoken to the children of Israel about their testing in the wilderness. Adam was tested with food, and he failed. The children of Israel were tested with food, and they failed. Jesus was tested with food, and after fasting 40 days, he obeyed. The devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him in a moment in time all the kingdoms of the world, which were all in his possession. He said to Jesus, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." That the devil was the prince of the world, Jesus himself later publicly acknowledged. It seems the devil's offer was valid. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he again cited the word of God as his authority. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The devil brought Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Here the devil himself appealed to Scripture, to the 91st Psalm. What the devil said was true. If Jesus was indeed the Son of God, the Savior of the world, then God would allow no harm to come to him before his time. Indeed, God never did let harm come to him before his time. On one occasion in Jesus' earthly ministry, when he went to the temple for the Feast of Tabernacles, some of the Jews sought to kill him. St. John writes, "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come." Not long after that, Jesus had a conflict in the temple with the Pharisees, but St. John records, "No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." God protected Jesus until it was time for him to die. Jesus told the devil, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Jesus cited a verse in Deuteronomy which reads, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa." It refers to the time shortly after the Exodus, when the children of Israel had complained of the lack of food and then of water and had doubted the Lord's faithfulness to provide for them. By miracle, God provided for them both food and water. As to the place where he provided water, Moses called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" For Jesus to attempt suicide would be a great presumption, a testing of God's grace. The children of Israel tested God's grace, and he finally destroyed them with fiery serpents. If Jesus would attempt suicide, would God protect him? The question cannot be answered, however, as Jesus would never attempt suicide. Jesus would only ever do what is right. He so loved God that he would allow God to test him, but he would never test God. Jesus faced temptation not only at the beginning of his public ministry, but also at the end. As he hung on the cross, people passed him by, mocking him and saying to him, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." The religious leaders also mocked him and said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Jesus could have come down had he so desired. He had no such desire, however. His desire was always to obey his Father and to take away the sins of the world. Let us follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, who lived not for himself, but for God and for mankind. Let us resist the temptations of the devil. Let us never put God to the test, and let us not fail when he tests us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.